Father, I kneel before you on this holy ground. I thank you that you will allow this servant to offer up your words to those that have the ears to hear, the eyes to see, the heart to feel, and the mind to take it all in. In Jesus' name I come. Amen. Good morning, family.
Good morning.
I'm Robin. I belong to Locust Grove Church. I'm a sinner. That's what gives me the experience to come and stand and talk to you. I'm not a pastor. I'm not a preacher. I study the Word, and I like to teach and share with all my friends. So I invite you today to know this is going to be Church Participation Day. It's also going to be not only hearing, but a lot of seeing. And I don't think you'll forget a lot of this one today. Last week, we had the privilege of Brother Gene talking to us about going forward, trusting God, keeping your faith. We're moving towards that promised land. We want to remember that we are thankful that God is always, always with us. We are not going to lose sight of where we're going. So let's visit 2024 with this message I have for you today. The cold, hard, naked truth. I'm going to let Scripture do a lot of the speaking today, because if it's God's word, it's not my opinion or thoughts. Luke 1:35. The angel Gabriel answered Mary, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One will be born and be called the Son of God." And after about 9 months in the womb, that little baby Jesus was so warm and comfortable, nourished, protected, and loved. But then labor pains begin. The pain and the struggle of birth, out of that comfortable, warm, dark, secret place, into the light comes this baby, naked and cold. The truth is born, baby Jesus. Amen? And he cried. You know, we think Jesus is an older man, and we learned that two-word verse, Jesus wept. No, here's a baby. He's wailing. He's crying for life. And they laid him in that cold, hard stone trough. 1 Corinthians 15:47 says, "The first man was created by God of the dust of the earth, and he was named Adam." He was a man, he was a sinner. But then the second Adam is born, and his name is Jesus, and he comes from heaven. He is born of a virgin, and he has no sin. Adam, the first man, sinner. So Genesis 3:7 tells us, they're in the garden, they realize they are naked. They're exposed. They're unprotected. The Bible speaks of clothing in both the Old and the New Testaments. God provided the first clothing to that naked man and woman, Adam and Eve, because that fig leaf just didn't cover very much up. And during those 40 years in the desert, Mr. Gene, you spoke about last week, their clothes and their shoes never wore out, because God is our provider. Details are given for priestly garments. We know how John the Baptist was clothed. The disciples didn't pack a suitcase to follow Jesus. So I ask you, how are you clothed? We all start out naked. So, are you scantily clad? Are you showing more than some want to see? Do you cover yourself up to hide away so others won't see that? How are you dressed? The Bible gives us direction on how to dress. We can be like Lazarus coming out of the tomb. Free your hands and your feet and your face of your wraps. Be exposed to the naked, hard truth of God's word. Be aware. Satan is looking for the naked, exposed ones to tempt, to lie to. And he's looking to steal you away from God. Romans 13:12 says, Satan wants to clothe you in darkness. And as it's getting colder, we just want to layer up. But when it's hot, you can't take enough off, even down to naked. Friends, it's hot in hell. Naked there, you're unprotected and you're separated from God. So there's a commercial that says, what's in your... Today our message is, what's in your closet? Let's look at what's in God's closet to see how God wants to dress you up. So if you have your Bibles, I'm going to be in the NIV. We're going to go to Ephesians chapter 6. And we'll be starting at verse 10. God's closet in the Bible. Isn't that interesting? God's got a closet for us. So as we are at verse 10, it's going to tell us, be strong in the Lord. In his mighty power, we are weak. Yes, I am weak. Luke 24:49 says, you have been clothed with the power from on high. How come we don't remember we have power? He gives it to us, but we don't remember it and we don't use it. Why not embrace the power of the Lord on high? Amen. And in verse 11, he says, put on the full armor of God so you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. We have to actively put on what God has provided to us. And here's the next part. You have to put on all of it. Every part, he says. So we won't be scantily clad. We have to help each other. You know, moms, dad, you dress your kids. They help us. Oh, you forgot your hat. Put on your coat. It's cold today. Get dressed. 2 Corinthians 5. We groan and long to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling so we will not be found naked. Jesus, he clothes us in our prayers. Let's look at verse 13. It's just like what we've already heard. Put on the full armor. You know, God knows it's got to go in here and be said more than once. Got to keep hearing it. We got to keep hearing it. That's why we come. We read over and over. We've got to keep hearing it. So verse 13, put on the full armor of God. Okay, he's told me that once. Now he's telling me again. So when the day of evil comes, and take note in that verse, it doesn't say if the day of evil comes. It says when the day of evil comes. It's coming, folks. You have to be able to stand your ground. So if you think you're standing firm, be careful you do not fall. 1 Corinthians 10:12 tells us, Satan is seeking you. He likes it when you're down. So let's take time to get dressed. It's kind of hard me standing up here looking at all of you out there naked right now. I'm just going to put some clothes on. Verse 14, we're going to stand firm with the belt of truth. So, get that belt out and put that belt on. The belt of truth. Those saggy, loose breeches are like the lies of Satan. Your pants fall down, you trip up. Now, Satan wants you to fall flat on your face. We have to know the truth in order to know the lies. And how do we do that? How do we know the truth? We go to the Word. We read the Bible, we study, we go to classes, we listen to those that know what they're talking about. Be in the Word of God, the truth. God is truth and He never lies. Hebrews 6:18. Wearing the belt of truth means being real with God so that you can be real with yourself. That's that relationship between you and Him. And if you cannot be truthful with God, Satan just stripped you of your belt. Truth is God-based knowledge. The presence of truth brings clarity and victory. The absence of truth leads to confusion and defeat. I'm going to say that one more time. The presence of truth brings clarity and victory, but the absence of truth leads to confusion and defeat. The cold, hard, naked truth is not what you need, what you feel, or you want it to be. It's what God is, says, and does. It's the standard under which our thoughts and our decisions must align. The devil doesn't want you to know the truth. Mm-mm. God's truth, that's your strength and your power. So buckle up that belt of truth and allow God's truth to hold you upright. When you're upright, we can fix our eyes on Jesus. We know He's there. So let's go to verse 14. We put on the breastplate of righteousness. Okay. With the breastplate of righteousness, it protects your heart and the center of your soul. The soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. Put on that breastplate. Protect your heart. Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart. 1 Peter 2:24 says, Jesus bore all of our sins in His body on that cross. Right there. On that cross. So we might die to sin and live for righteousness. When you trust Jesus, you trust Him as your personal Savior. The penalty of sin is removed and forgiven, and the gift of God's righteousness is given to you. Now, the enemy's on that warpath. He wants to keep you from realizing and utilizing that gift. Satan wants to remind you of your sin over and over. It's in your head. And I yell, Satan, get out of my head. Isaiah 43:25 tells us, God blots out our sins and He remembers them no more. He repeats that because He wants us to know it in Ezekiel 18:22 and Hebrews 8:10. Over and over, God tells us, I'll blot it out. I'll remember your sins no more. So as we put on our breastplate, the righteousness of Jesus to live in your heart is protected. Verse 15. We have to put on the shoes of peace. Here we go. Off they come. He wants to see how high up do they go. Wee-hoo. This works. Okay. Put on your shoes of peace. Walking with naked feet hurts. Does me. We have to have nice, sturdy shoes so we can stand firm so Satan doesn't knock us off our feet. And verse 15, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Ah, that peace. Godly peace, it's stable, it's calm. It puts you at rest when everything else is wrong. Many of you can say this with me. You know this verse, Philippians 4:7. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ. So Colossians 3:15 says, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. God doesn't change, ever. He doesn't change your tribulations and your storms, no, but he'll join with you in his truth and his peace. In John 16:33, he says, "In me have peace. In the world you have tribulation. But I have overcome the world." Amen? Amen. Satan wants to steal your peace. So put on those God-sized shoes of peace to stabilize your footing. You be grounded and stand firm. I like God-sized stuff. John 14:27, Jesus' gift is to us. He is our Christmas gift everyone should like. And it says, "My peace I leave with you, my peace I give you." Accept that. Jesus gave you the best Christmas giver. You have peace. Verse 16 is the shield of faith. Faith is an action. There's old Satan firing up those darts to come at us. Your shield deflects the flames. It'll help put out the flames. Your shield's kind of like the fire extinguisher. You have to enable it. You got to pull the pin, aim, squeeze, and sweep to activate it. You can't just let it sit there and do nothing. The faith place is actively stepping into the circumstance and the situation where you are putting yourself into a position for God to intervene. Your act of faith is your shield of protection to guard against enemy attack. Family, we don't need a bigger faith. God says, oh, I didn't get my faith on. I got to put my faith on. Here it is. God says we need faith the size of a mustard seed is all you need. My faith. Just that little bit will do. Do we need to know how big our God is? Do we need to understand what he can do? The cold, hard, naked truth. He says what he says. He does what he does. He does what he says. It's true. Well, verse 17 is the helmet of salvation. Okay, I hope I don't knock the mic off, John Bob. Cover your head. Protect your mind. Because Satan wants to get in there. Proverbs 23:7 says, protect your mind. Isaiah 26:3, when your mind agrees with God's truth, you access God's power for victory in spiritual warfare. God hears our thoughts. Satan can't hear your thoughts. You have to speak out loud to the devil. So use scripture and shout out loud at him. When did we hear, Satan, get behind me? It's there. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, take captive of your thoughts and follow God's truth. And Philippians 4:8, replace the negative thoughts with positive. This world, what do you see? Negative, 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 dark, dark. Get out of that. Remove yourself from that. Be with the light. Get with the positive. You be the positive. Receiving salvation redeems us. And applying salvation restores, protects, and shields us from the enemy. Romans 1:16 says, it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. Do you believe? Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to the age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so you may discern what is good and pleasing and the perfect will of God. Now the rest of verse 17 talks about the sword of the Spirit. I'm not going to drag out a sword, but I have a Bible. It's called the Sword Bible, and I like this one because even the Old Testament is red letter, if you've never seen it before. The sword is the Word of God. This is the only descriptive piece in the verses. It's our only offensive piece. Oh, let me put this back here. So now we're able to attack and defend. Take note, though, it said it is the sword of the Spirit. It didn't say it was mine or the church's, the preacher's, the religion's. It's the Spirit. If you know Jesus and you accept Him as your Lord and Savior, He has the Holy Spirit live in your heart forever. You have that Holy Spirit. You have the sword to do the fighting for you. Now, the written word are three things. One, it's written. So you can open the Bible, you can see the black and white red words. But folks, if you don't open it up and read it or look at it or use it, it's just laying there empty, doing nothing. So it's written. Number two, we need understanding of the word. God uses a double-edged sword to pierce between your soul and your spirit, to let that spirit have reign over you. Hebrews 4:12 tells us, "For the word of God is alive and active, and it's sharper than a double-edged sword." Double-edged, sharp on both sides. It's made of steel, metal. It's cold, it's hard, and when you draw it out of the sheath, it's naked. God's word is the cold, hard, naked truth. And number three, the spoken word. The devil hates it when you speak scripture aloud. Ready for you, Sheila? Now, verse 18 says, pray. And if you read 19 and 20, it's going to tell you, pray, 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 pray. We cannot stop praying. Luke 21:36 says, be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of God. That you may be able to do that. Now, after you've put on all, and I mean all of your armor, now I want you to cover yourself with your red suit. Some of you probably haven't done this before. Getting warm in here? I think I'm pretty red. Why am I putting on my red suit? Jesus hung on that cross. He died and bled for each and every one of you. It's the blood of Jesus that covers you from the top of your head to the bottom of your toes. It's the blood of Jesus that takes care of you. He protects you. When you are clothed in the blood, Satan can't hurt you. So, remain seated, but I want you to pull out your hymnal, if you would, please. And we're going to go to page 453. It's called Nothing But the Blood. And I ask for you to sing just the first verse, please, if we could. What can wash my sin away? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Jesus was born cold and naked in a hard world. Without his birth at Christmas, we wouldn't have Easter. Jesus is the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of peace, our shield of faith, our helmet of salvation, and he's coming back, and he's going to yield the sword. Read Revelations 16:15. Look, I come like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake and remains clothed so as not to go naked and be shamefully exposed. Romans 13:14. Clothe yourself with the word, Jesus. Colossians 3:12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, you are chosen. You're holy and you are dearly loved. Clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Be fully clothed and dressed by God as we live and go forth in this year, 2024. I want you to live like we're still in Advent. We went through Advent for the preparation of Jesus' birth at Christmas, but we're still in Advent because we're still preparing and getting ready for when Jesus is coming back, and he's coming back. Amen. Now, I know a lot of you, you came in naked, but I see now you're all dressed. So go out, share this news with your friends and your neighbors, and let's see how we fill the house of the Lord in 2024. Amen. Amen. Now, if you'll put your hands together and raise them up for me. Catch the blessing that the Lord gives us. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you his peace. Amen. Amen. Thank you for the privilege of speaking with you today, my friends.